welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Missouri Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune. And Trevor, we've got a ton to talk about this week, both about last week's game and the upcoming game today. But let's start with last week. So we got to go back a week, and it's, I'm sure it's going to be known as the Brady Cook game from here on out, or the hospital game, or whatever you want to call it. But Missouri's finally able to kind of get enough things at the very end to get a 21-17 win against Auburn. Let's just first talk about that, and then we'll talk about how still didn't look great, but got a victory. But let's start with Brady Cook. You got to start there.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously when he was in the game, he didn't play tremendously. Like, the numbers still weren't awesome.
Right.
But you can't watch that game and not walk out and say, I gained a ton of respect for that kid.
Sure.
You cannot question the fact that he absolutely loves Mizzou, and he will do anything to help that team win a football game. So,
right.
Obviously, he leaves in the first drive with a high ankle sprain. He kind of got a hip drop tackle and then tried to play through it for a couple plays. He rolls out, and it almost looked like a non-contact injury. You kind of lose your breath for a little bit if you're a Mizzou fan, and it's like, oh no, I think he's done for the season.
Thought it was more of a... It happened there rather than a residual injury. So you're almost feeling better when they look back and kind of start rolling the tape and go, oh no, it was actually a couple plays ago and we can show you this here. That almost made me feel better when I saw that.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing where you almost want somebody to get injured with contact and not with contact. And if you explain that to not a sports fan, that idea has to be pretty wild.
Right.
But yeah, a high ankle sprain that's obviously not ideal to be dealing with, but he goes to the hospital, gets an MRI, comes back, and he re-enters the game with 31 seconds left in the third quarter. He immediately is facing a long third down. He finds Mookie Cooper in double coverage, who turns that into like a 78-yard gain.
Right.
They go score a touchdown. That cuts it to 17-14. Then the next two series, 5 plays, 15 yards punt, 3 plays, 2 yards punt. And then they get backed up at their own 5-yard line as time's kind of winding down. He puts together a 17-play drive to go take the lead. So that's kind of his moment and his time in a Missouri uniform. Really cool moment to get a win on homecoming against a decent Auburn team.
Right.
Obviously, you don't want to be in that situation. And we talked about it being a 4.5-point spread last week.
Right.
It closed at 3.5, so they ended up covering.
Sure.
There's that. But
I guess maybe my main takeaway from that whole, you know, interesting subplot of that game is just the fact that if you want to cut through red tape in the healthcare industry these days, just be a quarterback from a major college, and then you can get right to the front of the line. I don't know that anybody's ever gotten an MRI quicker, so good for him that he was able to kind of get that to happen. But geez, he's not used to waiting in waiting rooms like I am when I go to see the doctor.
Yeah, and it was kind of funny in the mini movie that Mizzou Athletic puts out every week. It had footage from the hospital of him walking into the hospital, kind of limping, shows him going into the MRI room, and it shows him walking back out of the hospital. The one thing I noticed is he was walking a whole lot better out of that hospital. Take whatever you want to out of that. And I think my big takeaway is for all the people that were clamoring for Drew Pine, I think you kind of saw what that might look like if he is forced to start a game, which we might see this week. We'll get into that in a little bit. But
to be fair to him, it's not an ideal situation to come into, but I also do feel like he did get some extended playing time against an SEC opponent. Now, again, how good an SEC opponent, we can also break that down a little bit too. But he had enough reps to show you that he is who he is at this point. And it's not to say that he can't ever get any better, but it's also like you say, the people have been saying, well, Brady's struggling, let's get him out of there. I think an injured Brady is still better than a healthy Drew Pine at this point.
And I'll give him kind of the cop-out of when you lose your starting quarterback, kind of the air comes out of the team.
Sure.
It's not necessarily the easiest thing to step into, but I mean, the results just flat out weren't there. You look at the drives with Drew Pine on the field, 5 plays, 18 yards, field goal miss.
Right.
We can get into that in a little bit as well. Three and out. 5 plays, 33 yards, lost fumble, 6 plays, 22 yards, another field goal miss.
Right.
Into the half drive, kind of throw that out, 3 and out, 9 plays, 44 yards, field goal for his final drive that he's in the game. So the offense clearly did not function very well with him, and you weren't able to kind of see the throws outside the numbers. He was missing Luther on some throws, and it's kind of... You can't really afford that if you're a Missouri team playing against some of these top defenses in the SEC, because it's a lot harder to run the football, and you're going to be facing those 3rd-and-8, 3rd-and-9 situations a lot more, and you got to be able to make the big-time throws, and flat-out, Drew Pine didn't show that he's able to do that.
At some point with this Missouri offense, you kind of have to ask yourself, okay, maybe this is just who they are, and are they going to just struggle like this every week? Because maybe that's the case, because again... If it had been, you know, we talked many times this season about Brady's touch is just a little bit off. He's a little bit long. He's a little bit short. He's just not, he's not on the same page as his receivers. I don't think at this point it's just only his fault, because, again, I don't think this offense has shown that it's looked great at any point. I mean, whether you switch it, whether it's him, it's not. So you tried that. What else do you do? Well, you can't just bring in, like, replacements at every position and go, that'll fix it. The easy fixes have been tried, and they're not going to. So I think at this point we just go, they're going to look okay sometimes, and then they're going to look really not great at times, and that's just who they are. And sometimes you have years like that. I mean, as an Iowa Hawkeyes fan, some years you just don't have offense. Sometimes you look a little bit better than other years.
Some years you have a water polo kid playing quarterback.
Exactly, and sometimes your punter is your best player. So, you know, there are going to be years where you're just going to have to manufacture this stuff, and this might just be one of those manufacturing years.
And that's the alarming thing, is you look around at this offense, and there's talent almost everywhere.
Yeah.
You look at the wide receiver room, and it's hard to convince me that Missouri's ever going to have a wide receiver room more talented than what they have on this team. And you look at Brady Cook at quarterback, he's above average as a college quarterback. I think everybody can agree on that. Some people think he's a lot better than that. Some people think he's a little bit worse than that in the average to bad category. Yeah. I think he is around an above average to pretty good college quarterback. The execution is really what it comes down to. The plays are there. Kirby Moore has honestly had a pretty good year calling up plays. Yeah. Guys are getting open. Just for some reason, they can't execute. And it's not at all what you saw from the offense last year with essentially the same group. So at some point, they just have to start executing plays. And at some point, you run out of excuses.
Right. Also, the is just the fact that they can't score points. And I'm going to ask you a question that you may not know the answer to, and it may be a little bit unfair, but I think we're all going to know the answer maybe soon. Who's the backup kicker for Missouri? Because I think if we don't know now, we're going to find out soon. Because the starting kicker, I don't know that he's good enough for this level.
Yeah, I can't tell you who the backup kicker off the top of my head is. But there is a Blake Craig concern at this point.
Yeah.
I kind of alluded to it earlier. Two more missed field goals.
Yeah.
He did start out the game with making a 51-yard field goal. That's pretty cool.
Looks awesome.
Yeah, that's
great.
Build
on it.
And then he had a 55-yarder later in the game that ended up about 20 yards left.
Right,
so.
Right.
There's no consistency to it. Obviously, he is a young kid. He's a redshirt freshman. It's his first year kicking at high college level. I know he made some big kicks at Liberty North, but it's not the same at all.
Right.
It's definitely not an SEC atmosphere. But if you're not worried about Blake Craig at this point, I think you're kind of lying to yourself.
Yeah.
So,
This was one of those games where this game was hard, and they didn't play great, and they were still able to get a victory. But there's going to come a game where you don't play great, and you're going to need every last single point that you can garner to try to beat somebody. They're lucky it didn't bite them this week, or last week. It really was.
Yeah, and luckily Auburn also missed kind of a chip shot field goal late in that game that could have extended the lead out to, I believe, 7 points or 6 points, somewhere in that. Yeah, I think it would have been 20-14 at that point. But yeah, at some point when you're playing the top 25 teams or the top half of this conference, I know they don't have to see them too often this year, but there will be games and that come down to a field goal.
Right.
And if Mizzou keeps playing down to competition, there will be some games that you shouldn't be in a field goal game that come down to a field goal. And it was something last year's team didn't really have to worry about. Mevis always seemed to make the big kick.
Yeah, unless they were short.
Yeah, the short field goals for him were his problem. But if a game comes down to a long field goal or any field goal by that matter, and you have to send Blake Craig out there, nobody's confident in that situation, and that is a problem.
So it again, it still ends up in a victory, but I'm also, again, like you said, I'm not so sure how good Auburn is, so I don't know that I take a lot of faith away from it. Again, as I was watching the game last week, I kept thinking, yeah, they might still win this one even when they were down, but I don't know that that's going to change my opinion of it, because again, I don't know that that's a very good team that you beat. Yes, you did what you were supposed to. You were supposed to beat them. You did. You're now, you know, you were supposed to be maybe 6-1 at this point. You are 6-1 at this point. You're 2-1 in the SEC. Things are still in front of you, but again, I don't think that there's that. I believe, and I think you have to look no further than the voters, who again, they win and they drop for the second time this season, where you go, okay, now they're down to 21. I think it's just because I don't know that there's a lot of faith in this team.
They have zero style points on their resume. Right. And we'll see how much the College Football Playoff Committee kind of takes into effect style points. We won't see that until next week. But, I mean, you look at that Auburn team last week, and they scored 10 points on offense. Seven points are gifted on a Luther Burden fumble on a punt return. Yep. So that offense, and we talked about it last week headed into the game, if you slow down or stop Jarquez Hunter, they really have nothing. And that's what you saw all game last week, was just bad reads and a read option or overthrows when they needed it. Yeah. And it's a team that, if you actually classify yourself as a good to elite team, that's a game that you dominate.
Yeah.
And especially on homecoming in front of your home crowd, and probably one of the best atmospheres that you'll see all season if you're a Missouri fan, you gotta be able to accumulate some style points.
Right.
Because you have to think at some point you're going to be in that conversation with somebody that has the same record. And we talked about it time and time again. They don't have the opportunity for many marquee wins.
Right.
So when you play the lesser opponents, you kind of have to accumulate those style points. And they're zero.
Let's take a quick break for an ad read. At Carpet Values, we offer the guaranteed lowest prices on all your flooring needs. And now, during our fall savings event, you can save even more. We are stocked full of carpet, vinyl plank, tile, laminates, rugs, and more. Don't miss out on these hot fall savings. Come see us at Carpet Values and take advantage of our guaranteed lowest prices. We're your low-price superstore at I-70 and Highway 54 in Kingdom City. So I'll just ask you by pitching it to you this way. We'll switch our attention to today's game. 2:30 p.m., ABC, Missouri at Bama. So when you're talking about these teams with style points and how they look, technically, Missouri 6-1, 2-1. Bama, who's struggling a little more than maybe we thought, 5-2, 2-2. I still think that I would take a 5-2 Bama team over a 6-1 Missouri team because, again, yes, they've lost games that we didn't think they would lose or maybe thought they might lose but lost them in weird ways. I still think that they're you got to go, yeah, that's clearly a better team.
Yeah, I mean, the point spread this week says the entire story.
Right.
Obviously, with we'll get into injuries a little bit more, but it's a 16.5 to 17.5 point spread right now, depending on where you're looking.
Right.
So I think almost anybody in the country, if you ask them, they'll say Bama is the better team.
Right.
And we talked about all the reasons why Missouri isn't viewed in a high sense, but Bama has some problems of their own
now. They do. And again, you're getting them at a great time. I think, again, you know, this is one of those games we looked at in the schedule at the beginning of the season and said, I don't know if I'd want to get them late. Let's maybe get them early before they're as good as they can be. Well, now it looks like this is a good time to get them because, again, coming off their second loss of the year and didn't look great in that 24-17 loss to Tennessee.
They haven't looked good in almost a month. I mean, you look at their past three games, obviously, the third of that is the Vanderbilt loss, 40-35, where their defense just looked like a joke against that Vanderbilt offense. And then you kind of look at the next week at home against South Carolina, and I remember my thought was, oh, poor South Carolina.
Right.
They got to go down to Tuscaloosa after they just lost to Vandy.
Right.
And they barely escaped with a win in that, and they probably should have lost that one. They win 27-25, and then you go to a Tennessee team that has problems of their own. They haven't really been able to score, and they've been struggling, and they lose 24-17, and all those problems that you'd seen from recent weeks kind of showed their ugly head again.
Yeah.
And at some point, you just kind of shake your head, and it's like, is this Bama at this point in the season? Is this the team that they are? Because obviously, we still have the thought of they are much better than what they're showing. They're talented everywhere.
Right.
But there's some real questions, and I think it kind of boils down to culture with Nick Saban being gone.
I think that is a huge part of it. And I do think that I'm not saying that Kalen DeBoer might not get this figured out, and he might institute a culture that works. I just think whatever it is right now is not great. But again, I think this might also be, like we were talking earlier, this might also be one of those teams that's just not in sync and may not get in sync this year. They may have all the athletes all across the board. They may have players at every position. But the mesh may just not be very good, you know. And I think this might just be one of those teams where you're like, I don't know. From any given week, they could win, they could lose, they could look like world beaters, they could look very common. And I think that's kind of been what their schedule has played out like so far.
And it's an interesting transition from the sense of, obviously, everybody knows Nick Saban is a no-nonsense coach.
Sure.
And you're dealing with basically all five-star kids. All of them have egos.
Right.
You bring in DeBoer, who's kind of a player's coach. So you go from not being able to get away with anything
right.
to kind of a guy that's going to give you a little bit of leeway.
Sure.
And that seems to be what they're struggling with, is the players having a little bit more leeway but not necessarily knowing where that limit is. You see the Vanderbilt game and you have a cornerback that's throwing his towel all over the field, kicking the football away from the refs,
right.
doing weird stuff.
Right.
And you look at the Tennessee game last week, they're facing a key 4th and 10, down by 4 points late in the game, and you have a wide receiver that gets into a little scuffle and gets you a 15-yard penalty
right.
at the wrong time.
Right.
So they're trying to find that balance of the transition from one of the greatest coaches that you've ever seen in the college football game to a very promising coach in DeBoer, who
right.
has had a lot of success and took a Washington team to the playoffs last year. But just the transition period has been odd, and you don't necessarily know when they're going to snap out of that.
Right. And I, you know, and this is probably a longer discussion for a different time, but I do think, I think you cannot look at this year's college football landscape and not say that transfer portal and NIL has made a huge difference across the board. I think everybody is either, I mean, everybody's going to be trying to figure out who they are. There's not going to be like, oh, we're building on this foundation and next year we'll, you know, add a piece to our upperclassmen and then we'll add another piece and we'll have this. I think you're going to have a whole new team every year. Everybody's going to try to figure it out every year. And the quicker you can do that, the better. But I think it's going to be problematic. And I think maybe that's what's going on with this Bama team, is not that I think that there were mass defections when Saban left, but I do feel like you're just like, whole new team, whole new culture, whole new coach. And that may be the standard going forward, because everybody's going to be dealing with chaos every year.
You look at the transfer portal, and there's no better example than Vandy beating Alabama 40-35 with a transfer quarterback, Diego Pavia.
Right.
Like, there is absolutely no better example of what the transfer portal has done to college football than that game, and just the season as a whole.
Yeah.
It reminds Mizzou fans will know this very well, the 2007 season, where you look at the number one team and they're just falling every single week, and
right.
it's not necessarily even to the top level teams. Kind of throw out Texas losing to Georgia last week. That's some that could have expected that, but it's a whole different game, and the 12-team
yeah.
playoff makes it even more exciting.
Right, right.
Because you look fast forward to the end of the season, and you might have a 3-loss Bama that somehow finds its way in, because when it comes time to whether they're going to get in or not, they almost always find their
right,
way in.
Right.
So it's an exciting time for college football, if you ask me, because chaos. We talk about
absolutely.
Chaos in this office all the time,
yeah.
and there is no shortage of chaos
no,
this season.
Not. So I think in a lot of these podcasts we talk about, okay, who's the key to this week, or if they stop this person, can they have experience? You know, what's maybe the defensive key? What's the offensive key? I think the key for today for Missouri is just as simple as who shows up to play. It's the injury situation. So I guess I'll let you give the injury report, because it's key and it's lengthy.
Yeah, lengthy to say the least. Obviously, there's the four players that are out for the season that are going to be out for this game. No shock there. But Brady Cook, doubtful. That was huge news yesterday, or Wednesday, I guess I should say. Nate Noel, doubtful. Mookie Cooper, doubtful. Four safeties, questionable. Caden Green, one of the biggest acquisitions in the offseason from Oklahoma transfer, questionable. Brett Norfleet, best tight end, questionable. Marquise Johnson looks like he's going to play. He's listed as probable right now. So you look up and down that offense, especially,
right.
and then in the defensive backfield against Jalen Milroe,
right.
a lot of question marks.
Yeah.
And my biggest question, and I want to see what you think about this, is do you think there's any gamesmanship to this injury report?
I don't know. I think it's too hard to tell with this being kind of the first year that they've done it, who the coaches are that you can trust and who you can't trust. I do feel like, again, if Brady kept saying, and he did make a big mention of the fact that, you know, I wasn't going to miss one of the last 2.5 quarters that I have, you know, at Faurot Field, at, you know, He's not at Faurot Field this week. But again, I don't feel like if he did that much to get back to an Auburn game, you don't think he's going to try to get ready to play Alabama. I think he's going to work extra hard to make sure he can at least give it a go. Now, we may see him for a series, and he might clearly not have it, and they may have to pull him. But I think a lot of these guys, these are the games that you kind of, you know, sign on the dotted line to play these teams in the SEC. This is one of those where I feel like we may see a lot of these guys today.
So, yes, that is kind of my opinion as well. And we don't know how much Drink is gaming the system.
Right.
But I know one thing, and I'm very confident on it. If it is up to Brady
right.
to play in this game, there is no doubt in my mind that he will be on right. that field. So, yeah. if he is out of this game, that is the coaching staff kind of taking back and not wanting this to be his final college
sure,
football game.
Sure.
So if they want to take that stance, that's on them. That's honestly fine. It is kind of throwing out your college football playoff hopes, which is right. kind of a downer.
Right.
But if they want long-term him to be there, it is probably smart for him to sit out this game. But there is no college football playoff if they lose this game.
Well, and I think the interesting part about Brady especially is I don't know that he has a ton of long-term pro potential. I mean, he might be. I don't know. There may be a team out there that may want to pick him up and go, we'll stick him on our roster and we'll have him as our emergency quarterback for however long we need. But I think that also kind of factors into things when you're talking about, okay, how much left of a career does he have left? I mean, yes, they want him for the rest of the season, but how much beyond that is he playing for? So you might see him try to rush back because he may be, I don't know what he's thinking in his own head. He may think he has a pro career, but he may also be thinking, I've only got X number of games left in my college career and career total. Let's go ahead and play as many of them as we can.
And you kind of mentioned it, what he said last week, that he had about 2.5 home games left at Faurot Field. I think he kind of realizes, unless there's maybe a UFL dream or the CFL dream, something right. like that, which I don't see him as the type to do that, but I obviously don't know him as a person. So you look at a game like this, and this is possibly the biggest game he plays in his college career if he's able to play. And that just circles back to the point of if he has any say in this decision, we have known enough about him at this point that he is going to make it out on that field, and you're kind of going to have to carry him off of it. So this is kind of an over-my-dead-body game if he is able to play in it. I'm kind of excited to see, and I really do lean towards the fact that this is a little bit gamesmanship and kind of seeing if they can throw any sort of wrinkle into the Alabama game plan.
So we've gone pretty long. We probably need to cut this at a certain point, but I do want to ask you the Jordan Milroe question because I think a lot of has been made about his skills and his abilities, but I also think he's had games where he has just not been great. So I guess if we were going to name a healthy player that we were going to pinpoint for this game, I think that a lot hinges on, I think it might be him.
Yeah, Jalen Milroe is one of the most talented quarterbacks in the country. I think that's undoubtedly, he's definitely one of the most athletic, and he has the ability to throw the ball deep. It's been inconsistent.
Yeah.
So that is a guy that you're looking at. Can you make him uncomfortable? Obviously, it starts with pinning him in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to QB spot him almost every single play. And he's going to take deep shots to these wide receivers. Obviously, Ryan Williams has been talked about a ton this year. Did you know he's 17 years old?
I'm well aware.
And Jerny Bernard. So they have threats that are deep threats that he loves to go to. And Missouri, I was surprised to see Missouri second in the SEC in pass defense.
Yeah.
Would not have guessed that. So you look at it, and it's kind of a matchup where if you slow down Jalen Milroe, I don't think you stop him. You have a chance to be in this game.
Yeah.
And the other big note that I want to throw in there, Alabama, 14th in rush defense in the SEC.
Yeah.
It's another thing I wouldn't have guessed. So even if you do have a hampered Brady Cook or no Brady Cook at all, you might be able to run the football with Marcus Carroll or Nate Noel if he's able to make it out there.
Right.
So those are the big keys for me.
All right, I guess just ask, what do those keys add up to and who comes out on top today?
It's hard to pick Missouri in this game and, you know, keep a reputation as so they could win this game if everything goes right, but Alabama desperately needs a win. And they're in front of their home crowd on homecoming, so I'll pick them to win. Let's go 31-21.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter at TREVHAHN3. That's Trev Hahn3. Thanks for listening.